I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is February 14th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, an article by Archbishop Cranmer. Should Richard Dawkins be arrested for incitement to religious hatred? I have a comment. I usually don't comment until they've had a chance to speak, but that title needs addressing right now. The last people on earth who should be criticizing others for incitement to religious hatred are those whose religion calls other religious believers vile sinners who deserve to burn in hell forever. So if Dawkins goes to jail, Archbishop Cranmer should get the cell right next door. His article begins, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Dawkins, that there is none like him upon the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that obsesseth ad nauseam about the non-existence of God, and escheweth all reason? Archie, since your beliefs are based on faith, the only one who is eschewing reason would be you." His article continues, "With apologies to Job, is there a man on earth more obsessed with establishing beyond doubt the non-existence of that which does not exist than Professor Richard Dawkins? Archie, Dawkins does not have to establish the non-existence of God. The burden of proof is on you to establish that your God exists outside your imagination. So far, in 2,000 years, not one Christian has ever been able to do that." The article continues, "Cranmer was asked during the week to respond to Professor Dawkins' rant in the Times, but it is hardly worth it. He displays a sub-level of comprehension of theology and an utterly simplistic caricature of religious philosophy. Archie, Dawkins spent his entire life learning about the real world, rather than wasting vast amounts of time studying fairy tales. That is why his knowledge of theology and religious philosophy might not rise up to your standards." The article continues, "If one were to critique evolutionary biology in such crass terms, Professor Dawkins would be the first to dismiss one as being an intellectually deficient ignoramus. Archie, since you do critique evolutionary biology in such crass terms, by your own admission, you are an intellectually deficient ignoramus." The article goes on, "Yet it is a provocative piece of writing, insightful even, for he appears to presume that the Reverend Pat Robertson is the archetypal Christian, and lauds him for his adherence to Christian orthodoxy. Archie, I don't think Dawkins was lauding Robertson so much as he was merely pointing out that Robertson is simply following the literal interpretation of your Bible." The article continues, "What fate would befall Cranmer if he equated all Muslims with the obnoxious Osama bin Laden? Archie, now you are the one who is showing a lack of theological insight. Just because you consider bin Laden obnoxious doesn't mean that Muslims do. In fact, many of them revere him. How can you be that unaware of what goes on in the Muslim world?" The article continues, "What persecution and injustice would he endure if he criticized the Quran, parodied the nauseating and barbaric teachings which emanated from the nasty human mind of Muhammad, or said the entire religion is founded on an obsession with killing the infidel? What if he mocked the moral depravity of the befrocked and bleeding imams, lampooned the odious doctrine of Allah, or denigrated the sincerely held beliefs of the false anguished hypocrites who constitute the Ummah? Archie, that is the typical dishonesty that you fundamentalist Christians are known for. You do believe that the Quran is a book of fairy tales. You do believe their God is imaginary. You just don't have the honesty to admit it. He continues, might he find himself in court like Geert Wilders, accused of inciting hatred for daring to articulate a religious opinion? Arch, that is exactly what you are promoting in this article. Like the gutless Dutch, you want to prevent freedom of speech, except for religion, of course. You believe you have the right to hurl horrible names and insults at non-Christians and threaten them with eternal torture. But if they try to exercise their right to speech, then they are inciting hatred. He goes on, frankly, Cranmer is aghast that the Times has permitted Richard Dawkins to denigrate Christianity and Christians in this fashion. My comment, proving again that the Arch will do and say whatever it takes to prevent freedom of speech. The article continues, would they dare to print this address to British Muslims? Bin Laden may spout evil nonsense, but he is a mere amateur at that game. Just read your own Quran. Bin Laden is true to it. But you may weep for Pakistan where Bin Laden does not, but at least in his jihadist sub Abu Hamza ignorance, he holds up an honest mirror to the ugliness of Islamic theology. You are nothing but hypocrites. Arch, well put. But if anyone dared to speak the honest truth, as you just did, there would be 72 fatwas issued before dinner time. He continues, of course not. They would never permit such offensive invective against Islam or those Muslims who blame the Indonesian tsunami on the loose sexual morals in tourist nightclubs. Arch, that is because they are scared to death of the terrorist reprisals. The thing about terrorism is that it works. The article goes on, but neither would Professor Dawkins have parodied their beliefs or criticized their orthodoxy. Arch, he has enough to worry about with you Christians. Let the Muslims deal with their own problems. He says, and it is also unlikely that the Times would have published such a tirade against Judaism and the Jews. Archie, well, of course not. According to you guys, they control all the newspapers, don't they? He says, God forbid that they might be accused of anti-Semitism, but Christianity? Yeah, why not? Arch, all you religions do everything in your power to prevent dissent. In the good old days, you simply killed people. Now that civilization has advanced, you have to resort to less obvious tactics. But it is clear that freedom of speech is still the greatest enemy of religion, next to reason. He continues, pedophile priests, bigoted Bibles, patronizing piety, and corrupt congregations drag the name of Jesus through the mud, and no one will really mind. Archie, the name of Jesus has nothing to do with evil believers. It is the pedophile priest, religious bigots, and corrupt congregations that deserve to be dragged through the mud. He says, the wrath of Ruth Gledhill is the worst they have to fear, and she is unlikely to challenge Dawkins' monstrous fundamentalist caricature of the Christian God, not least because she does not appear to have the time, and neither does the other Times God blog. And also, they pay her salary. Archie, you're beginning to sound a little grumpy. Can I get you something? A glass of wine, perhaps? Some aspirin? A little boy? He goes on, yet it is really quite astonishing that someone of Professor Dawkins' academic stature should place the largely inaccurate secondary source accounts of someone like Pat Robertson over the primary sources, not only of Scripture, but also over centuries of the considered and learned reflections of such literary theologians as Chaucer, Shakespeare, Dante, T.S. Eliot, Gerard Manley Hopkins, C.S. Lewis, and over the labyrinthine theologies of Augustine, Aquinas, Luther, Calvin, Schleiermacher, Barth, etc. Archie, hold on. We get the idea. You don't need to list every Christian ever born. All those names are nothing more than an appeal to authority. And if Pat Robertson is a secondary source, then so are you. He continues, but Professor Dawkins prefers the two-dimensional spirituality of Pat Robertson and his one-dimensional God because it is easier for him to shred. Arch, is that any way to talk about your fellow Christians? He says, when the choice is between that or Dawkins' atheism, one can see the attraction of the latter, but they are really two sides of the same coin of zealotry. Archie, only a theologian like you could lack the reasoning abilities necessary to be able to distinguish between an atheist and a fundamentalist Christian. He says, all religions profess a higher knowledge and supreme truth, and Dawkins is no exception. Wrong, Arch. Dawkins is an exception. Science never claims a supreme truth. You are trying to put religion on an equal footing with science. It's not even close. He says, but he is not an atheist. He is religiophobic. Okay, Arch, then you are not a Christian. You are atheophobic. He says, and phobic to the extent that many moderate and reasonable atheists will have no truck with his obsessive, demented, fundamentalist extremism and his fanatical hatred of Christianity. Wrong again, Arch. Moderate and reasonable atheists agree wholeheartedly with Dawkins. The only people who consider him obsessed, demented, and extreme are fanatical religious zealots like yourself. He said, while most atheists are content simply not to believe in God, Dawkins appears to be psychologically disturbed due to some trauma in his upbringing, for he loathes the very idea that God could exist to the extent that bitterness and bile pour out of every word he speaks. Arch, you should reread what you just wrote. Your words apply far more closely to yourself than they do to Dawkins. He said, if God is simply an imaginary being somewhere up there with Father Christmas and the Tooth Fairy, why does he get himself so worked up about it? Arch, he is not worked up about your invisible friends. He is worked up about the horrors that you people inflict upon the helpless. He said, it is a quite irrational pursuit for an atheist. Arch, that is something you would know about. What could possibly be more irrational than spending your whole adult life talking to invisible ghosts? He said, the professor needs to get out more and mix with a few moderate atheists. Archie, he travels all over the world and already does what you recommend. He continues, and he might learn from them that in many countries of the world, the Christian faith is the tie that binds communities, gives them a moral framework, induces hope, inspires them to great acts of charity, and exhorts them to love their neighbor by doing all manner of good deeds. Archie, that is what happens when you receive all your information from the spirit world. You are completely out of touch with reality. Wherever the Christian faith is to be found, you will find bloodshed and conflict in the name of religion. The moral framework provided in your holy book is the most gruesome set of laws and rules to be found anywhere on the planet. The only hope that your religion induces is the hope that it will go away. The great acts of charity mostly include giving 10% of everything they earn to you guys. And love your neighbor only applies to Christian neighbors. The Bible is very specific about what is to be done to non-believers and people who worship other gods. He continues, or did the Times pay him £1,000 for his article? Did he donate it to Haiti? Or is he content to use their appalling plight to advance his insidious faith and demented doctrine and cash in on his prejudices in exactly the same manner as he accuses Pat Robertson of doing? Archie, calm down. Here, go spend a few minutes in the other room with this little boy, and then come back when you are more relaxed. Okay, first, Dawkins does not have faith. For atheists, faith is a four-letter word. And secondly, speaking of demented doctrines, how come you guys don't eat your children anymore? as God commanded in Leviticus 26:29. He continues, "It is wonderful that atheists should have the infallible professor to shepherd their flock, his secularness Pope Dawkins. But the man is a spineless hypocrite, and the times are evasive cowards. Archie, go lie down. Take a long, long nap. It's absolutely stunning that you can have so much hate inside of you without exploding your guts all over the walls. You demonstrate to all Christians what happens when you study the Bible your entire career, but never get as far as the New Testament. You certainly don't seem to have an ounce of Jesus in you, but you have a ton of Old Testament fire. Go to sleep now, Archie." And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, trees retaliate when their fig wasps don't service them. Figs and fig wasps have evolved to help each other out. Fig wasps lay their eggs inside the fruit where the wasp larvae can safely develop, and in return, the wasps pollinate the figs. But what happens when a wasp lays its eggs but fails to pollinate the fig? The trees get even by dropping those figs to the ground, killing the baby wasp inside. The findings suggest that when one species in a mutually beneficial relationship fails to hold up its end of the bargain, sanctions may be a necessary part of maintaining the relationship. Edward Hare, a staff scientist at the Smithsonian Institute who co-authored the paper, said, "We want to know what forces maintain this 80-million-year-old mutualism between figs and their wasp pollinators. What prevents the wasp from cheating and reaping the benefits of the relationship without paying the costs? More than 700 species each of fig trees and wasps have co-evolved in the tropics worldwide, with each fig tree species having its own species of pollinating wasp. Some wasp species passively carry pollen that sticks to their bodies, while others actively collect pollen in special pouches. The researchers found that in passively pollinated pairings, the tree almost never aborted its fruit, and the wasp always carried pollen. However, the researchers found that in actively pollinated pairings, where the wasp needs to expend energy to collect pollen, the tree dumped the fruit and killed the offspring when the wasp did not carry pollen. The researchers also found that among the actively pollinated fig species, pollen-free wasps were much more common when the trees had weak sanctions. Sanctions seem to be a necessary force in keeping this and other mutually beneficial relationships on track when part of being a mutualism is costly. In their study, Jander said, "We saw less cheating when sanctions were stronger. Similar results have been found among human societies and social insects. It is very appealing to think that the same general principles could help maintain cooperation both within and among species." And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Bangladesh, where a raped teen was lashed 101 times. A 16-year-old rape victim in Bangladesh was lashed 101 times after village elders decided that was the appropriate punishment for becoming pregnant outside marriage. The girl, who was too ashamed to report the rape, was married soon after it happened last year, but her husband divorced the teen after learning she was pregnant. The village elders pardoned her rapist. My comment. This is the kind of sick society that results from the immorality imposed by religion. And today we have a bonus section in honor of Valentine's Day. Saudi police begin Valentine's Day crackdown. The holiday and any item invoking it are banned. The Saudi religious police are cracking down on stores selling items that are red or in any other way allude to the banned celebration of Valentine's Day. A Saudi official says policemen are inspecting shops for red roses, heart-shaped products, and gifts wrapped in red, and ordering store owners to get rid of them. Such items are legal at other times of the year, but as February 14th nears, they become contraband. Saudi Arabia bans celebration of Western holidays, such as Valentine's Day, named after a Christian saint said to have been martyred by the Romans in the 3rd century. Most shops in Riyadh's upscale neighborhoods have removed all red items from their shelves. My comment. Ah, yes, the religion of peace and love demonstrates yet again the wonderful morality of their beliefs. They can't even be civil on a day as innocent as Valentine's Day. What a wonderful culture. I feel so unfortunate not to be a part of those loving, caring, peaceful people. And for the final section of the show, famous quotes. Today, Napoleon Bonaparte, born 1769, died 1821 at the age of 51. Napoleon was a military and political leader of France and emperor of the French, whose actions shaped European politics in the early 19th century. Born in Corsica and trained as an artillery officer in mainland France, Bonaparte rose to prominence under the First French Republic and led successful campaigns against the First and Second Coalitions, a raid against France. In 1799, he staged a coup d'état and installed himself as First Consul. 5 years later, the French Senate proclaimed him emperor. In the first decade of the 19th century, the French Empire, under Napoleon, engaged in a series of conflicts, the Napoleonic Wars, involving every major European power. After a streak of victories, France secured a dominant position in continental Europe, and Napoleon maintained the French sphere of influence through the formation of extensive alliances and the appointment of friends and family members to rule other European countries as French client states. The French invasion of Russia in 1812 marked a turning point in Napoleon's fortunes. His Grand Army was badly damaged in the campaign and never fully recovered. In 1813, the Sixth Coalition defeated his forces at Leipzig. The following year, the coalition invaded France, forced Napoleon to abdicate, and exiled him to the island of Elba. Less than a year later, he escaped Elba and returned to power, but was defeated at the Battle of Waterloo in 1815. Napoleon spent the last 6 years of his life under British supervision on the island of St. Helena. An autopsy concluded he died of stomach cancer, though scientists have since conjectured that he was poisoned with arsenic. Napoleon's campaigns are studied at military academies the world over. While considered a tyrant by his opponents, he is also remembered for the establishment of the Napoleonic Code, which laid the administrative and judicial foundations for much of Western Europe. And now for the quote from Napoleon Bonaparte. Religion is excellent stuff for keeping common people quiet.
Are you ready, Goose?